God is reserving a faithful remnant who will keep covenant with the flock until he calls for them. God is building a remnant. And I think that is so true in these days when we see so many people not even fellowshipping, not even going to church, saying, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. But God says, no, to say not the assembling of yourselves together. The body needs one another because that's how we grow. You can't watch a TV ministry and get the rough edges knocked off you, can you? The place you get the rough edges knocked off you are bumping alongside your brothers and sisters here. Because we won't always see eye to eye, but we always remain in covenant. We always will agree to differ and love one another despite our differences, our uniqueness. We have to make room for one another. And keepers means to tend, to rule, or associate with, as a companion, a friend, a pastor, and to keep company with them. Faithful keepers who will tend to the flock of God through covenant relationships, not afraid to touch the sheep or get close to them. God wants a leadership and a body that will get close to one another, that is not afraid to get connected and to relate and to listen to the flock, listen to the people. You know, Andrew was talking about the shepherd, how he puts his hands in the wool. He gets his hands all oiled up and he oils the sheep's wool and he runs his hands through to get rid of the knots and the tangles. And sometimes the leadership needs to get among the flock and start rubbing and untangling stuff with the word of God and encouraging and bringing a sense of peace and security to the flock. I think this is more, imagine, I do think it happens in the UK, but it's not about a pastor or a leadership remaining with a congregation until a better door of opportunity opens. It's not about self-promotion. It's about corporate destiny. We are committed one to the other, leadership and all the body are here, to move together as one body to bring in the kingdom of God and to see the destiny that God has for us as a body fulfilled. The ministry gifting is not for the individual, it's for the sheep. Amen. David began his ministry not in the spotlight but in the moonlight, taking care of the sheep. And God said to Samuel, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And in this verse we see that the first principle of being a covenant person, that you will never leave the sheep unprotected. David wouldn't leave the sheep just to go and see what Samuel was doing or to promote himself. He was called and he obeyed and he went. And he was God's man because God was looking at his heart and knew that because of the way that he so intently and lovingly cared for those sheep, he would care for the children of Israel as just as gently as he did the sheep. While they were trying to impress Samuel and David was looking after the sheep, he was busy fighting off lions and bears and he was protecting the sheep. He was a really courageous man. He was not afraid of any wild animal. He knew who was with him and he knew he had a destiny and he knew that God would protect him. And so he was not afraid to go out and face the enemy. We know with Goliath, he was not afraid of the sight of the Goliath. He knew he was in covenant with God. And I don't care how big an enemy is faith in you. You are in covenant with God, and you will win.
Yes.
The enemy will fall. Amen. He also learned another thing, that God knows where his shepherds are, and he will call for them when he is ready. So we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be about doing the job that God has called us to do. And if God wants us to move on or do something different, he knows where we are, he knows where to come knocking, and he won't miss a trick. He will tell you. You'll certainly know when God is speaking to you. It's interesting to notice that when God was ready to announce the birth of his son Jesus, he didn't first appear to wise men, but he appeared to simple country shepherds who were abiding in the field. Abiding is another covenant word. Can we abide in the place of our calling? And will we stick together when going gets tough? That's when a lot of people quit. Don't have to do this, I'm not going to do this, don't feel like doing this. No, that's all wrong. What's God said? When it's tough, it's not the time to quit, it's the time to dig in and get deeper into your covenant. Abiding is also linked to the word remaining, which deals with the remnant. The remnant is not some small elite group. The remnant is that which is left after everything else has fallen away. And God is looking for those who we will find abiding when others have broken the covenant. God calls us to be covenant people.
Yes.
The shepherds were also, as angels came to announce the birth of Jesus, the shepherds were keeping over their flock. Watch over their flock by night. And God has called the leaders and the oversight to keep watch over individual members of the flock during this darkness, the seasons of darkness, until light dawns for them. And it takes some longer than others, but God is patient with us. He is not willing that any should perish or that any should not get breakthrough. He is the God of the breakthrough, and I'm so glad God is patient. He will do whatever it takes to give us our breakthrough, and until light dawns, even if we go running off on horseback here, there and everywhere, even if we go walking around that mountain time after time after time, he'll always still be stood there. So we're going round again, off we go again. It's foolish when you look back, but hey, we need to wise up and do what God says. The principle we're talking about here applies not only to pastors and to leaders, but it applies to parents, to husbands, to employers who are willing to conduct business by the word of God. You know, we ran a small business for 20 years. And we were in America. We'd not long been going. We were only really small. And a lady came up to us and she said, "I've got a word of prophecy for you." She said, "God gave it me 12 months ago." And at that point, she was heavily pregnant. And I don't think she could stand up much longer. And she toddled off and didn't get opportunity to give us the prophecy. But 12 months later, we were going to the same venue in America, and we met her in the foyer before the exhibition started, and she was waving, and she got the little one in the pushchair, and she said, "God's just brought something back to me." We didn't know her all that well, and she said, "God's brought something back to me," and she said, "I must give it to you." And she said, and it was to the effect that, "You're only small, but you will still be standing when all the big shots have gone." And we thought, nah. There were huge million-pound companies in the Christian UK market, well, in the Christian marketplace in the US and the UK. And in the UK, there was a company that of about a 40 million turnover. and they were busy buying all the shops up, they were taking all the business, they were pushing all the little boys out, and they were really getting to be obnoxious to everybody else. And we never thought for a minute a company that size could ever topple. But suddenly we got wind. All's not well at this big £40 million company. So Andrew asked God, and God said, get your money out. And so they owed us some money, and we owed them some money. So every month then, Andrew said, I'm not paying you until you pay me. So we got all our money back. We paid them what we owed them. And then they went bang. And oh dear, what a mess. They caused devastation to the UK Christian book and gift market. And I think that was the first real big hit that the market took, and I don't think it's ever recovered from that. But there were many companies that were huge companies compared to us. And now, truly, I think there's nearly only us left standing. And we're ready to sort of wind it up and go, but God's word proved true. Don't care how impossible it looks. If you honour God and you do things by covenant means and standards, then God will make sure that you succeed and that you will still be standing when everybody else has hit the deck. But yes, church membership is a covenant responsibility. And I love this. It is not a one-night stand for self-gratification. It's not about you. It's not about, oh, I feel good when I've been there. I've had my card stamped, my conscience is clear, and I've come home and I've enjoyed it, and it does great things for my emotions. But what about the word? Has God spoken to you? Have you come home challenged? Has somebody bumped into you and given you a uh-oh? And have you thought God about that person? Do you think you've got to forgive? Has it challenged you? God is going to challenge us. He wants us to fit together. But he's got to knock the rough edges off us. We once had a member of our congregation, and Andrew was praying about a particular person. And God said, sort this person out. And God said, no, that person's there to sort you out. Oh, ouch, God. Just let this person out of the way and I'll have a much more comfortable life. No, I want to do something in you. Be prepared for the unexpected. David, when he was called to be Saul's armour bearer, he walked away from the palace and he returned to Bethlehem to feed his father's sheep. He always went home after he left the palace. He didn't stay where all the delicious food was and all the music was blaring out and there were good things happening, or maybe not so good things, but he didn't stay there where his emotions were gratified. He came home to his duty every night to look after his father's sheep. He didn't get heady about being Saul's armour bearer. And when in conflict with Goliath, he left the sheep with a keeper. It actually says that in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 20. David was a man of risk. He was responsible and he cared for the sheep. He loved them. He always made provision for them. And God above everything requires commitment to the flock. There's no greater test of a covenant heart than to see if you're willing to abide in the field where God has planted you. Come hell or high water, will you stand? Pastors and leaders and flock who remain steadfast, God will prosper them to reach higher spiritual dimensions. And God really wants us. He intends for us to reach those dimensions. You can't keep a covenant family from growing. Numbers alone don't determine growth in God. Growth is determined by covenant relationships, vertically and horizontally, amongst leadership and amongst the flock. And because David was faithful in the small things, never leaving the sheep unprotected, his world of influence grew. You know, God is all about growth, but not just numbers, spiritual growth, maturity, covenant growth, commitment. That's a firm, solid foundation, both for the flock and for the leadership and for intake. There's a lot of people out there. We had two families come in yesterday, and I looked at John and I said, "Ooh, is this the sign of things to come? Are we ready?" You know, it was quite a culture shock, but the two ladies with the dead two children each, and one of the little girls, she was gorgeous, a chatty little girl, a friendly little girl, and then she had a little boy, and he was wild. He saw the drums and off they went, whoa, you know. And David appeared and said, "Hey, we don't do things like that here." And the little boy cowered down. He recognised the voice of authority. And we don't have to be afraid to use that voice of authority, do we? But yes, they were absolutely, the ladies were really lovely. And if you go by appearance, it will be a total stupid thing to do. Because underneath all the tattoos and the chains and the nose chains and all the rest of it is a beautiful person waiting to blossom and waiting for God to do something wonderful, to know how loved they are, not looking for, not doing stuff to attract attention, but not needing to do that because the beauty inside just shines out. And that's what God's looking for. And there's just loads and loads of people like that in this area.
Sure.
And we have to be prepared and to see not the outward appearance but the heart, and see them through God's eyes. God wants them rooted and grounded securely in his love, knowing the length, breadth, depth and height of that love which surpasses knowledge. So praise God. We can do it.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go for it. We are a covenant people. Let's act like covenant people and do what covenant people do. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you will not let us escape from anything that you may be challenging us with, but that we shall remain steadfast and sure in your love and in your will to do what you want us to do until, Lord, you have completed the work you have called us to do. Amen.